I pray that this lesson will be of encouragement. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, when I was a kid, and I'm sure some of us here as well, when we were kids, probably in elementary school, I know for myself, I would sometimes daydream as the teacher would teach. And the things that I would daydream would be actually pretty fun. I would be the superhero of the class. So if a bad guy would come into the classroom, guess who was there to stop that guy? I was. And man, was I good. And I'm sure we've all wandered through that path at some time in our childhood. And it's pretty interesting as children what our imagination can do. But then as I grew older, I started to think differently. I imagined important things. And I just got to say that God is so good at doing amazing things. This is the first time I've ever met some of the members of Downtown Church of Christ. This was back in 2019 or 18. 18, it was 2018 October. And there you see me talking to Mr. Greg. And after a workful week, we went and had some tacos all together. And since that moment, God has used us in so many wonderful things. And I want to share the scripture that we'll be on today. If you did not see in the first slide, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. If you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage to open up to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And I want to read verse 20 first. Verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Paul now continues in the letter of Ephesians with this second prayer from the Ephesians. Now, the first prayer was mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, of chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Now, if you notice in verse 14, that's where we're going to begin the study. It mentions that for this reason. Now, this phrase, "for this reason," indicates that Paul has expressed his prayer in response to those things that he had mentioned before. Now, we won't read through the things that he mentioned before, but I will mention some of them. He mentioned from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the wonderful salvation by grace through faith. And he also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, all the way to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, the work by Christ, on the cross, where Gentiles can now become fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of the Lord. Now, Paul has a lot of gratitude in his heart for God's grace towards the Gentiles. Paul now prays in their behalf, starting with, if you look in verse 14 and 15, Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, in this wonderful prayer, notice how Paul does this prayer. How does he do it? First section of verse 14, he bows the knee. Picture Paul doing this. A posture in prayer, which is commonly found throughout Scripture. However, there's really no official posture when it comes to prayer. We see in the Old Testament, Solomon stood when he prayed and dedicated to the temple. That's in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. David, in the Old Testament, he sat before the Lord when he prayed about the future of his kingdom. That's in First Chronicles 17, 16. And we also know in the New Testament, by the example of our Lord Jesus, he fell on his face when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Now, notice who he is bowing his knees to. The pattern and example of the prayer in the New Testament church was to the Father, in the name or through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit. To the Father, Paul addresses his prayer. The prayer itself is divided into three parts, which it's indicated in a good way, and it's like a staircase with three steps, meaning that each step led to the other. And let's read that prayer, verses 16 through 17. Paul's prayer is that he, the Father, will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Paul had mentioned earlier in his letter about God's power towards us who believe in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Now he prays that the Ephesians might be strengthened with might. And we understand, we need to understand that such strength is according to the riches of his glory. God's strength is administered through his Spirit in the inner man. A Christian body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You knew that, right? Your body is a holy temple for the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that's what that states. Now, the sign of an enduring spirit is to help us put to death the deeds of the body. But the purpose of such strengthening by the Spirit in our text that we're looking at today is for a different purpose. And he mentions it in verse 17. First, that Christ may what? May dwell in your hearts through faith. Let me be clear what that means. To the degree that God strengthens by the Spirit the believer's inner man, so it is said that Christ himself indwells the heart of the believer. The Spirit of the instrumental agent by which Christ indwells the believer, and just how Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 mentions, it suggests that the Spirit is an instrumental agent by which God inhabits his church. Now, second, let's look at the second thing as well, that they may be rooted and grounded in love. One work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to instill the love of God in the heart. We need that. Anywhere and everywhere we go, we need to have the love of God in our hearts. Now, when strengthened by God through the Spirit and the inner man, one can become rooted and grounded in love. Let's carry on, verses 18 through 19. In the previous verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That verse 18, those first three words, may be able, it literally translates to have full strength to do. Now, the prayer for strength in the first part of the prayer is to comprehend. That's the prayer. For the believers to comprehend, meaning to understand or to grasp. And as Paul says in verse 19, to know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, so it is the love of Christ that Paul is praying that we be strong to grasp. He wants us to know everything about this wonderful love, meaning by its width, by its length, by its depth, its height. But notice, this love of Christ, which passes knowledge. How is it possible for us to know the love of Christ if it passes knowledge? It's only in the sense that no matter how much we learn about Christ's love, even with the strength God's Spirit provides, there is always much more to grasp. There is always much more to grasp. It is only as we begin to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge that we are beginning to experience the last step for which Paul is praying here. And it is to be filled, in verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the objective. This is the goal. And it was said previously, one begins to be filled with the fullness of God as they are strengthened by God, which is through His Spirit, and in their hearts, Christ may dwell. Now, this is the petition that Paul is making on behalf of the Ephesians. Once again, that they be strengthened by the Spirit of God so that they can comprehend the love of Christ and with that be filled with the fullness of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God able to fulfill this petition that Paul has? Paul's confident. He is confident. He doesn't pray in hope. He is confident. There is no doubt in Paul's mind. And we can see how he closes the prayer in verses 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God for what he is able to do. As Paul attributes praises to God by which much glory can be given to, Paul's prayer is that all saints may be able to comprehend the love of Christ and that they may all be filled with the fullness of God, and such giving the church potential to bring much glory to God. Now, do we desire to give God glory throughout ages, world without end? We should. We should always desire to give God glory through all generations, and it must be through Christ our Lord, through Jesus' name above all names, that we can come to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and allow ourselves to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how can we be sure to be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, for one who is a Christian already, we should follow Paul's example, starting with the prayer, such as the one we're reading today. And for one who is yet to be a Christian, yet to be baptized, then one needs to become a child of God first Notice what Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 says. I'll read it. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, let me explain in other words what it means to be a child of God. And as my wife and I plan to we'll get ready to depart you, and with so much gratitude that Glenn, Diana, and Cindy, and Greg will come with us, not only to the airport, where they're going to propel us all the way to Mexico City, to the doors where we're going to be staying. I thank God for that. So let's have them in prayer as well. Sequoias, I am amazed by God's creation. And with one of them having to do with the sequoia. Now, I've never been in Northern California to be able to see this with my own eyes. I've seen YouTube videos, though. And one day, maybe I can be there. And some of us may actually have been there to see it. But did you know that these trees can easily reach heights of 300 feet? That is amazing. Roughly, it's the same height of the Statue of Liberty. Now, I read this in the Redwoods webpage. There's before the first Olympics were held, or the first pyramids were built in Mexico, the oldest living sequoia had already started to grow. There's one that's called the President, which is located in California's Redwood State Park. It is estimated to be around 3,000 years old. Now, giant sequoias not only can survive the forest fires, they actually thrive on them. Fire isn't the only threat a giant sequoia is built to endure. They can endure strong winds. Anything that nature throws at them, they can endure it. Here's another picture of how they look. Yeah, they're big. Now, you would imagine a tree of this size, the roots must go deep into the earth. So, so deep into the earth. Well, that's not the case with these trees. This is how the roots are managed. They're all dispersed throughout each other's. And as they grow together, they tangle together. So whenever fire comes or strong winds come, guess what? Those trees will not fall. Why? Because they're rooted together. And that's what we are. I want you to picture in your mind. I wish we could do it. We might be able to if y'all want. But imagine everybody forms a circle and we put arms around each other. And I'm in the middle and I'm going around trying to push you out the circle. I won't be able to. Because the brother or sister next to you is holding on tight to you and will not let you go. That means whenever in our lives, we go through tribulations. We go through tough times. Satan wants to attack us and destroy us. He won't be able to because we have a family in Christ. Wherever we go. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. This is my wife's and eyes and Boaz's encouragement. That you have helped us to be rooted and grounded in love through Christ. You are all a great example to follow. And thus, what we have learned from you, we will take to Mexico and share it over there so that other brothers and sisters and those who have yet to know Christ may experience this love, this peace. My wife and I got you a little gift. And if Mr. Greg can come forward and may he receive this for behalf of the church. And if you may read it, I can help you.
Pieces of Us. Thank you, Downtown family, for the cherished moments shared over time. We love each one of you and aspire to embody the servant heart within your community. You are the shining example of Christ's love, and we are grateful for the experiences shared. Leaving a piece here and taking a piece of yours is a cherished exchange. Thank you, Milo Root and Boaz Rodriguez. Scattered in different countries, different houses and neighborhoods, moments of our lives become fragments of time, tossed like sand into the wind, settling near and far, forever separated by time and space. Some know us from our past, others from the pieces we presently hold, but few see the full landscape of our scattered pieces. Sometimes we feel a little broken, maybe wishing life could happen in one place, in one piece. Then we realize we were never meant to be a monument, but rather a mosaic. And all the pieces from all the places my heart has loved have not been scattered, but they've been gathered on journeys, in conversations, and in our hellos and goodbyes. Through heartbreak and leaps of faith, around the globe, the many moves have not taken pieces away. They've added to the art being made with my life, our life. The further journey that take us, the wider the scope of variety and beauty in this mosaic being crafted by the guiding hand of the master artisan. So when we feel like our life is in pieces, may we be reminded that every piece has had a purpose, and that we were not whole and now broken, but are beings that have been made whole by the grace of a redemptive Father. We are a mosaic of His mercy, these pieces of us. This was written by Heather Follis.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Greg. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to say an invitation. If there's somebody here who wants to partake of this beautiful family and wants to give their lives to our Lord through baptism and through obedience, don't hold back. By doing so, you miss out. And if there's somebody among us that need prayers, that have requests, we're also here to pray alongside and bear with one another and encourage one another so we can do so.